Well, good morning, and again, welcome to Vintage Church North. If you're new with us, we just want to say a special welcome to you this morning. This passage is a powerful one. There is four different breaks in this passage. You didn't see the word on the screens this morning, but in your Bible, if you turn to Psalm 89, you'll see this repeated word four times. Selah. Selah is a musical term. It probably denotes just a pause, a break, silence. And in this passage today, that functions very importantly in the psalm. If you noticed, the psalm moves from a really high point to a pretty low point. It really follows, in a lot of ways, the human condition. The psalm itself kind of has ups and downs. We're going to see today just something that we've seen in a lot of weeks over this series that we have been going through is in covenant, that God really wants to meet with us. Covenant is about his personal relationship that's not just all about these personal promises. Man, he gives us like these legal promises too. And he has this condition, this covenant is binding. He is going to be faithful for it. And we have seen over these now it's the fourth sermon, these three sermons, his covenant with Noah, his covenant with Abraham, his covenant with Israel that we saw last week. Man, God himself is going to keep his word, his promises to us. And this week, we're entering into specifically a look at the Davidic covenant. Psalm 89 is a psalm and a song that is reflecting upon God's covenant that God made with King David. This covenant in this psalm looks like it might have been abandoned. And so we have a question for ourselves. When God's word doesn't look like it's holding true in our lives, like how do we respond? God has entered into a covenant relationship with us, this relationship where it will never end. He says, I'm going to be faithful to my promises to you no matter what. We've even seen over the last 2 weeks how he says, man, I'll even take your part of the covenant. You enter into this relationship with me and say, hey, I'm going to trust you. Hey, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to obey you. But we get to see Abraham didn't trust him that well. The people of Israel, they didn't keep the Ten Commandments, right? We don't either. And God himself, in this amazing story of Scripture, he comes in and says, I'll take the consequence of those actions, your sin. And today, we're just going to further look at this last covenant that happens in the Old Testament, the Davidic covenant. I want to let you in on a little secret. At the end of this psalm, after the last Selah, this is the fourth break, a mysterious voice enters into the psalm. A voice that we're unsure and we're unclear, who's speaking here? It makes you wonder. I'm going to pose to you, it's Jesus. After four times of silence, God comes in to the psalm and speaks. And he's actually in an interesting place. Jesus is in this interesting place as this person, as the psalmist is suffering. So is Jesus. And this is so important to today. I want us to look at this psalm and see how this psalm mirrors just human condition, how we operate. And I want us to see how at the end of this series on covenants, we've looked at Noah, we've looked at the covenant God's had with Abraham, the covenant God's made with the people of Israel, and now we're going to look at the Davidic covenant. Jesus Christ stands at the center of all of God's covenants, for he is establishing a new covenant with his people. And today, I want us to just see him, hear him, and look at how he enters into our lives. So with that, I'm going to pray for us and ask God to help us. Let's pray. Father God, I do pray that just the reading of your word today would have its effect that you desire. God, this psalm is such an incredible psalm, and it speaks to how you formed us and knitted us. You know us. You know our ups. You know our downs. You know our struggles. And God, you enter into that story. You enter into our lives. God, I pray that today that the voice of Jesus Christ would just be clearly heard. That just like this song that we sung this morning, that we would be able to hear that gentle voice, that amazing call, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Jesus, we give you this time. Would you honor it by lifting up your great name? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This series has been an incredible one where we've looked on how God relates to people and he relates to us through covenant. The Bible Project has a great video. I don't know if you've heard of the Bible Project. Some of you have. They have a great video. I finally watched it on covenants, and I think you guys should go watch it because they do a great job of kind of wrapping up what we've talked about over the last 4 weeks. They actually even use the term, a covenant is a great word for it, is partnership. And I think it's a great picture. God wants to partner with his people into bringing his blessing to all nations. That's what he promised through Abraham. Hey, in you, every nation is going to be blessed on this earth. And in covenants, God comes in and he makes these promises to his people. And we've seen, like last week, there are some commitments that God's people need to make back to him. The Davidic covenant is not different than that. God chose King David to make a covenant to. And in Samuel, you get to see what this covenant is. This kid that comes from the hills, from the pastures, God brings him as a shepherd and makes him a king. And Samuel, in 2 Samuel 7, he says this. It's not going to come up on your screens. Just listen to this. You don't need to turn anywhere. Just listen to how God begins his promise and covenant to David. Now, therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people. And I have been with you wherever you went and have cut off all your enemies from before you. I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people, Israel, and plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly. From time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. And when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you. In your house, in your kingdom, shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Man, what an amazing promise that God gives to King David. He is going to have this forever kingdom established through his offspring. This is his covenant that he's going to bring. I will give you this forever kingdom. With Noah, he said, hey, I'm not going to destroy the world through flood. With Abraham, he said, I'm going to take you and I'm going to bless every family on the planet Earth through your offspring. To the people of Israel, he says, I made you a people of worship so that in worshiping me, my great fame would be spread to every nation. And now to King David, he's setting up this kingdom that will be established forever and that even a rule of law would show his incredible glory throughout the world. Man, this incredible passage of 2 Samuel was really, in the Jewish mind, one of the things that they looked forward to the most because they knew their history and their struggle. This king who would rule forever is who they were looking for through their story. In Psalm 89, the psalmist is reflecting upon that covenant that God made to the house of David, to David himself. And this psalm is a reflection of this meditation that the psalmist is having upon that covenant that God made with David. The psalm, as I mentioned, goes through these five sections, and it's got some real highs and some real lows. The first section in the first four verses is so much praise. I mean, just listen to the way it begins. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to generations. In verse 4, it says, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne through all generations. It's talking about David, this covenant. And then he says, Selah. Pause. This first four verses, we get to see that the psalmist comes into this passage with praise on his lips. He comes and he's remembering the Davidic covenant. And it is so important for us to remember God's promises in our life, to remember what he said, how he's interacted, his word towards us, his steadfast love towards us. And you know what's really great is to stop in that and to sit in that. To Selah. To be able to say the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever and just stop. And to sit in that reality. Last week, and when I was talking about the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Covenant, I told you as a church, the one thing that I think would be amazing if our church could do and our members this year would be for us to learn how to Sabbath. If we could Sabbath, if we could stop, take a break, do not work for one day a week, I think we'd have the time to meet with God and to love others, to remember who we truly are. And this, the Selah, kind of reminds me of that, to stop. This first section is all about praise. It's all about the steadfast love of the Lord. And he just says, stop. Listen, as you heard these scripture readers this morning, you might have, noticed a little pause in between readings. And you might have been like, oh, somebody's really messing up right now. No, that was intentional. You know, for us in our culture, man, when we stop, when, you know, the first thing I think a lot of us start thinking about is examples of like unhealth. Oh, that's not good. And when you stop, when you rest, that's not good for you. You know, we might even use, you know, a lot of examples of, you know what, when you stop, you atrophy, your muscles atrophy. We intrinsically think about it in terms of like unhealth, but we forget that every single day we stop, we go to sleep, and actually we're kind of learning from science that sleep is the most important thing that our body does every day. When you get a lack of sleep, your immune system goes down. When you get a lack of sleep, the way your body responds to injuries, it just doesn't respond the exact same way. Sleep is like the most important thing that we can be doing in our bodies is stopping. It's not negative to stop. It is a positive thing. And this Selah is introduced into this passage to say, we need to, one, first sit in the steadfast love of the Lord, to take a moment to stop and to pray and to consider his great love towards us and just sit in it. The second section is another section that just has a positive tone to it. It is looking forward to the covenant of David. It is looking at every single word that God gave to David and just resting in it. It's being assured of God's word to his people. That was the big section of reading that you heard Kara read, is from verse 5 all the way to verse 37. It's 32 verses of this, man, praise to God. Praise to the Lord of hosts who's on our side, this Lord of armies who's basically defeating our enemies for us. He's the one that makes this covenant with David. He's going to be the one that is faithful to this covenant of David. In verse 28, we get to see this focus come up. Read this with me. It says, my steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. I will establish his offspring forever and his throne as the days of heavens. If his children forsake my law and do not walk according to my rules, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commands, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Do you get to see that in the midst of this whole passage? He's saying, look, there's nothing you can do that could get this covenant to stop with me. But you probably also did notice some of the conditional nature of the covenant. Did you see that? The language in there, if my people transgress their sins. We've talked about that a lot over the last two weeks. God makes promises, but he also wants these commitments from the people. Obey my word. Obey the Ten Commandments. Enact justice in your rule, King David, and King David's sons. Enact justice. Love the poor. Fight for them. Do not rule harshly. Obey the Ten Commandments. And he notes in this section, hey, there is a consequence for those when you do not obey the commandments of God. He says, I will punish them, but did you notice he goes back to the faithfulness of God? Hey, God is not going to forsake this covenant. Even though people are faithless, he will be faithful. And how does it end? You can guess in this sermon. In verse 37, what word? Selah. And it begins with praise. The second section remembers God's word. We remember God's word and we sit in it. We selah. We take a break. We stop and we reflect and let that word sink into who we are. One really good thing about stopping, though, is that when we stop and when we're silent in the midst of some of that discomfort, a lot of us are just not comfortable with stopping and being silent. Part of the reason is because we get to see what's really going on inside of us. Maybe it's something from our past that just flares up. It's a hurt. It's a pain. Maybe it's some loss in your life that just comes up in that silence. And for a lot of us, though, we can even start being honest about what we really believe. God has a great way in the silence to really get us to say, I know you can say, I love you, or you could say, God loves me. But it's in silence that we actually go, do I really believe that? Does God really love me? And this is the break into the third section. I've heard preachers say this a lot, that the word but is their favorite word in the Bible. You know, you get this in Ephesians. We were dead in the trespasses of our sin, but God made us alive. Here in the Psalm, it goes the other way. This section of the Psalter in verse 38 starts with a but. But now you have cast off and rejected us. And here, the psalmist is showing us what it is to be human. The psalm that starts so high with praise, and he remembers God's word, and he's meditating on it. And here, wait a second. It doesn't look like God's keeping his word towards us. Do you see that? In verse 38, it shifts. The whole entire psalm shifts on this word, but you have cast off and rejected. You are full of wrath against your anointed. You have renounced the covenant with your servant. You have defiled his crown in the dust. You know what that sounds like to me? Is honesty. The psalmist is looking at his situation. He is looking at what is going on, and it looks like God has rejected his people. He, in this part of the psalm, looks around and sees there's no king on the throne. They're in exile. They don't have a kingdom. The covenant that's supposed to, this covenant with David, he's supposed to have a throne that lasts forever and ever. But look at where we're at. Look at our life. It looks like you have, God, cast us off. You have rejected us. Times where we are silent is times where we can, to be honest, get real with God. Isn't it amazing that God gives us these words to pray to him? We got to remember what God's word is. The Psalms are not just people's prayers to God. What we believe about the Psalms is they're God's words to us, right? This is God's words to us. What does he want us to ask him? Why have you cast us off? Why have you forsaken us? Why have you broken your covenant with us? What type of God is this? He tells us, hey, I want you to get real with me. to say what's really going on in your heart. If you doubt, God is giving us the language to speak to him. How many of us grew up in churches where, man, if you said anything that hinted close to doubt, you know, people were trying to fix you immediately? Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not sure if God loves me. And it's immediate. Jesus loves you. Jesus, you know, God loves you. Don't doubt. You know, yo, ye of little faith. And here, Psalm 89 says, this is a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of a person getting real, looking around at his situation and saying, what is going on? It looks like you have cast us off, God. The very end of this section, the very last word before the Selah here, listen to this. Verse 45, you have cut short the days of his youth. You have covered him with shame. Selah. I think God wants sometimes us to sit in that place. A lot of us know what shame feels like in our life. God's not scared for you to sit in it. It ends with shame. You have covered us with shame. Selah. There's a value of sitting with God in whatever place you are. Of notating, God, I feel like you've just covered me with shame. And just sit with God in it. Just stop. Stop pretending. Come before him and be real. The next section that this goes into again, which is just a complete dark place. It becomes the section of questioning God. Listen to these questions in verse 46 through 48. How long, O Lord? Question one. Question two. Will you hide yourself forever? Question three. How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. For what vanity you have created all the children of man? Question four, what man can live and never see death? Who can deliver his soul from the power of Sheol or death, ultimate death? Selah. God is giving these words to us to pray to him. What a God. The worst organizations on this planet that are led just with toxic workplaces, you cannot question authority. You can't do it. My authority is what stands. Don't question what I'm doing. Get out of my, if this isn't your organization, get out of my way. Get out of it. But God himself says in my family, I want you to ask me the hard questions. If you feel like my wrath's against you, ask me. Ask me the hard questions. And then sit with it. Sit with those hard questions. I have found this week when I asked those questions to God and just sat, it is great to realize my soul slightly was there in some ways. I did have some serious things that I needed to bring to God and almost get him to defend. The psalm invites you to get to know yourself in a deeper way. What's going on inside of you? I also found that those questions, when you start to have silence, start to get answers. I realized that "Will you hide yourself forever?" was just my feelings. It wasn't God who was hiding, is what I would say. I realized that who can deliver his soul from the power of Sheol has an answer. There is a man that can live and never see death. They have answers. It's Jesus. And if we ask hard questions and sit with them and sit in front of God in our humanity, all of who he's made us to be, we might hear him. He might be speaking. And it is amazing what that does for your soul. These are the four Selahs. The first is this time of praise. Take a break. Live in that. The second is a reflection on God's word. Live in that. Take a break. Let that seep into who you are. The third is a moment where you get real with who you are and you sit with God in that. And this final is you question God and you sit in it. And I told you, this psalm is so interesting. The very last section, a new voice enters in. And it is almost as if the psalmist is telling us, it is when we stop, when we really praise God for who he is, we remember his word to us and we stop again. It is when we get real with ourselves and we stop, and we ask questions of God and we stop. It is in the silence, in the stopping, that someone else comes in, that he enters in to our story. Listen to these last verses. It's in 49 through 51. Lord, where is your steadfast love of old, by which your faithfulness you swore to David? Remember, O Lord, how your servants are mocked, and how I bear in my heart the insults of all the many nations with which your enemies mock, O Lord, which they mock the footsteps of your Messiah, your anointed. Who is this? Who is the I in this passage? Who could this be that he bears in his body every insult from all the nations? In our suffering, it's all of a sudden this new suffering voice comes in. This new voice out of this whole psalm, a new voice comes in and says, I am suffering too. every single insult of every single nation is being born in my body. Who is this? Who is speaking? The text gives us a clue by even using that last phrase of, they mock the footsteps of your anointed. It is actually at the anointing of David where the term that we get Messiah comes from. Like, it's back in 2 Samuel when he's anointed. The Messiah comes from a root Hebrew word from anointed. It's the Messiah that is being mocked, that is being insulted. And it is this psalm that I think gives us incredible hope, incredible life and richness here. It is this psalm that kind of gauges how our lives work, our ups and downs, that when we take a break and we rest and we stop, Jesus can come in. Jesus enters in, and his voice is actually, strangely, right where we need it to be. The psalmist is saying, here's how we are. Here's our pain. Here's where we're walking. And you know what? The Messiah walks in, and you know, he says, I'm there too. I'm hurting too. All the insults of all the nations I'm bearing in my body. And that is the perfect thing for us to hear in our lives. In this Davidic covenant, on the reflection of what God's promise was to David, at the end of it, we need to remember, and at the end of this whole series, this is the best way to end. It's all about Jesus Christ. This whole thing is about Jesus Christ and his excellencies, his love towards us. See, the Davidic covenant's broken. The Mosaic covenant was broken by God's people. The Abrahamic covenant was broken. The Noahic covenant could not be broken. There was no conditions in it. But it was Jesus Christ himself, the son of Abraham, the true Israelite, the true son of David, who this psalm gets us to end in. It is in Luke 1, 31 through 33. We're just there through Advent that the angel comes and proclaims this. He says, and behold, he's talking to Mary, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. How does God relate to us? Through covenant. It is Jesus Christ himself that completes these covenants, the Davidic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. He comes and restores and establishes all of our commitments. He does in his perfect life what we could not do. And in his death, he satisfied the justice of God that was required for our sin. In this day, he comes and reminds us, I am your covenant, God. I've established a new covenant that I'm going to write on your hearts. Each one of you is going to know me personally. I invite you into that relationship, this relationship where there will be no end. I'm keeping my part of the bargain. I want you. I have given my life for you. This day, we respond to this Savior. This Jesus Christ who comes into our stories and reminds us, I'm with you. In your pain, I'm with you. The way I've healed every wound of yours are by my wounds. It's by my wounds that you are healed. And so today, I want to ask you, would you respond to Jesus Christ? The new covenant does have a commitment. There is a covenant. There is a commitment to the new covenant, and it's faith. It is faith. Would you respond in faith to Jesus Christ? knowing that he has accomplished everything for your salvation. And he wants you to come to him just as you are, whatever state, and find what he will give you, which will be rest for your souls. Let me pray for us. Jesus Christ, would you enter into our stories? Even in this day, Jesus, we ask that you would come in and remind us who you are. You would remind us of what you've done. And even that we might say with the psalmist, that last line, that we might be able to say, blessed be the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen. Amen.